Welcome back to season 2 of the Bring Back Femininity podcast. I am your host, Angelica Chulo. And on this podcast, we talk about all things femininity, masculinity, relationships, how to reach your highest self, and so much more. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Bring Back Femininity podcast. And if you're new here, hello, thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Angelica Chulo. It's so nice to meet you. So today we have a true gem joining us. Her name is Sima Shamash. Sima is a spiritual liaison, and she is dedicated to supporting women on their soulful journeys. Her innate ability to connect with her clients' spirit counsel is nothing short of remarkable. Through this deep connection, she assists individuals in awakening and aligning with their true selves. Sima serves as a vital bridge between the physical and spiritual realms. In this unique role, she works wonders helping people heal and flourish. As a spiritual medium, Sima possesses a profound understanding of both worlds. This knowledge allows her to effortlessly bridge the gap between realms, providing much-needed guidance and wisdom that serves as a guiding light for those in search of healing, growth, and a deeper understanding of themselves and their spiritual paths. On today's episode, we will be talking about spiritual awakening and soul ties. I learned so much from Sima while recording this episode and left with so much knowledge, and I know you will too. It's truly a great episode, so make sure to tune in. Now, let's begin.
All right, so hello. Thank you for making the time.
Oh my God, of course. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I actually found you because I listened to Danny Morrell. Mm-hmm. He's amazing. And I was like scrolling through his podcast and then you popped up and then it said like masculine and feminine energies. And then I listened to it. I'm just like, okay, need to message her. Okay. So let's get started. So, tell me what you do. My listener.
So I am a medium, and I feel like traditionally people look at mediums as people that talk to loved ones that have passed on. And that's how I definitely started my work. But as it grew, I realized that I can connect to people's spirit counsel, which are high-level angels assigned to each one of us. And through working with them, I could guide people through their life journey. And little by little, as I worked more, I realized I love working specifically with women through their spiritual awakening journey. And that awakening, there's so many different levels to it, from emotional intelligence, from healing past wounds, from past life trauma, from this life trauma, from really connecting to our divine feminine and what that means. And it's like that kind of brings the whole package together in our awakening. So now I work with women in their spiritual awakening and using their spirit counsel as support to give them the messages of where they're at and what they get to do.
Wow, that's very interesting. So I obviously have to ask you, like, what's your story? Like, how did this all start for you?
My story, it's been a while since someone's asked me that question. I've always had this gift, but I never knew what it was. So I just ignored it. And I went down the very like traditional path, became a dental hygienist, started working, and I was 22 by the time I finished school and started working as a dental hygienist, but spirit always sets up everything in life for you perfectly, even when you're not aware of it. Because the dentist that I started working with was someone that was very into these things. And I personally was not. I didn't understand spirituality. I didn't know if I believed in any of these things. But as I started working for her is when I discovered that I had a gift. And I would just feel ghosts around me. And I'm like, why do I feel this around me so strong? What's going on? And shortly after, I found a mentor and she's like, oh, Sima, you're a medium. And I was like, excuse me, a what? And it's just something in my gut was like, yep, that's it.
Wow.
And so there was no turning back. And that dentist that I worked for at the time, she was so supportive of like, these gifts are real. And she really helped me. She would bring people for me to do free readings on just for me to be like, what is this? And get comfortable with my gift. And it just kind of grew from there. Something in my gut just knew this is what I meant to do. So I even moved to New York to work with my mentor to understand it better. And just over the years, as my journey continued, I got really sick like 6 years ago too. And I feel like in that was the massive part of my own awakening. Because while I had found out that I had a gift and I was learning about these things, there was just a whole other side to this awakening that I got to have. And for me, it showed up through feeling sick. And so in that, I learned all of like the emotional roots of how we create disease in our body. And you learn about having faith that the answer is going to find you. You don't have to go searching for these things. You learn that your thoughts are creating your reality. You learn about how your traumas contribute to these things. You learn about how your past lives contribute to these things. And it felt like once I had learned the lessons, the answer of what was going on with me, which was lead poisoning, it found me. Oh my God.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And you got like fully healed from that?
Yeah, last year was a full year of detoxing my body, getting all of that stuff out, rebuilding. And it took like a good 8 months. It was a very long journey.
Wow.
But so many beautiful lessons in that too. And like, it brought me to where I am today. And it gave me a clear, not vision, but a clear just even experience of our spiritual experiences. And truly everything is happening for us. So even in the times that we are in like the depths of what we think is like the darkest parts of our times, even that is a guiding light for us. It's just showing up in that way.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
There's so many like questions. Like I just want to pick your brain on everything, but I'm usually like, I'm a very spiritual person. I wasn't always that way. I also, I would say I had an awakening. My awakening was when my relationship suffered, like with my husband right now. And I was just so out of tune with myself. I started creating like chaos everywhere I went. And I started attracting like very like toxic men in the past. And I didn't know what the reason was. And then when I met somebody healthy, I felt like I had this like blockage within myself, where it's like, I couldn't genuinely be happy. And then when I met him, his name is Mike. He kind of gave me that wake up call of like, hey, like you're missing your femininity. You're missing your feminine energy. And he's like, that's what I'm looking like. That's what he was looking for, because he was very in his masculine energy. And all of a sudden, like things started clicking, because prior to that, I was reading like books on just like manifestation and self-sabotage and self-destructive, but nothing really helped, you know, guide me the way that when I found out what femininity was, since it was just a foreign concept to me, I only knew about feminism. That's what really changed. But then after that, I kind of put like femininity more into like how I treat people, like compassion, nurturing, and all of the outside stuff, personality. I didn't really dig in deep to my inner qualities, my healing, my trauma, my heartbreaks, my inner child healing. And then when like for spirituality, I would say like you kind of just think there is a higher power besides yourself, whether it's the universe, whether it's God, whether it's angels, right? It can be like whatever.
I wouldn't say it's a higher power like outside yourself. That higher power actually exists within you, and it's about discovering like how that exists within you. But it's not outside. It is actually you. You're just the physical manifestation of it.
Yeah. I guess what I was saying is just like, you know, it's like something more than just you here, your physical body right now, like something more powerful. There's something more powerful, because 100%. I would say when it comes to like God, that's who my higher power is. It's like he exists within me.
Yes.
So that's when I started like really healing and trying to dig deep into, why do I act a certain way? What happened in my childhood? And now when Mike and I get into an argument and I think back and I'm just like, why was I so triggered? Like, what happened in my past that got me so triggered? Like he could just say like a comment and that triggers me. And I remember doing a coaching with like my life coach, and he's just like, well, instead of like blaming him and telling him to stop triggering you, why don't you look within yourself and ask yourself why that's triggering you? Because you telling him not to trigger you is just putting a band-aid on a sore. But if you're not treating your sores, are you really getting healthy? Are you really getting better? And I was like, mind blown. So but that's how I would say I got awake. But obviously, when it comes to like my listeners, everybody's still on like the beginner journey. So I'm just going to come from a beginner mindset when I'm speaking to you, just so I can pick your brain on things. So Perfect. What does it mean to be spiritually awake?
You know, I think there's very similar to what you say, like there's different aspects of where that awakening starts from. For some people, it starts from like myself discovering I have a gift. And that was really the start for my journey. For you, it was relationships just not going right and being like, what's happening? So it starts from a different aspect for all of us. And there's no right or wrong. And there's no like, I'm more awakened than you are. Like there, you know, like, it's just like, we're all on this journey. And to me, what it means to actually be an awakened person is truly understanding that there is a soul inside your body. It's not just this, I come into this world and then there's this life and life just happens to us and then I die and then it's done. There is a bigger picture to every single thing in your life, down to the parents you chose to have that you were born into, the family, the certain purposes that you're meant to like experience here, the karmas you're meant to experience here and really clear those karmas. So I think that being a spiritually awakened person to me is remembering those things, because in our soul, we remember those. Now, whatever the journey to remembering is and whatever sparks the start of it looks different for all of us. But by the end of it, it's just remembering we have a soul and there is a divine purpose and plan with every single one of our souls, and all of our paths that we take are actually connected. Like the healing I do for me isn't just for me, it's for you, it's for the collective of the feminine, it's for the collective that experienced those traumas. And so it's just remembering this connection with all of us together. And it's really about coming home to ourselves and living the life that feels the most authentic and joyful and happy for us. Like, and knowing that we are the creators of all of that, once all of that just clicks, to me, I'm like, that is an awakened person. And it doesn't mean that we don't have struggles in life from that place. It doesn't mean that stuff like that doesn't come up. It just means from that space, we handle it differently. We're no longer the victims of those situations. We look at this of, okay, why is this happening for me? Or like you said, for example, with you and Mike, when stuff comes up, it's no longer of like, Mike, don't trigger me. Now you've learned of the triggers where actually I get to heal. So you know what? Thank you for triggering me so that I can go deeper within myself. And that becomes a part of this like awakened lifestyle. I want everyone to know that going through an awakening doesn't mean that life is now rainbows and butterflies. We're happy all the time. Like that's definitely not it, because we chose to come into these human bodies and have these human experiences so we can feel a range of emotions. But in living that awakened lifestyle, you're always choosing love through all of those things. You're choosing to see love in it. Even if you're angry, your anger is sacred, but you're choosing to not end in anger. You're going to go through anger and end with love.
I love that. And since obviously this is the Bring Back Feminine Me podcast, I do want to dive in and pick your brain on like obviously spiritual awakening and healing, because I feel like the first step into relaxing and being in your feminine energy, you have to heal your past trauma or you'll forever be unsettled. And there's certain blockages that prevent people from going on that feminine journey. And they just figure out like, oh, it's not for me. This is too difficult. So I want to talk to you about how, like what, because you work with a lot of people and you heal a lot of people. So what are certain blocks that people, you know, get into that they don't even know that is a block in their spirit?
I will say, or do you mean like more so in like the feminine part of it all or in general? I'm guessing more of like the feminine side of it. I will say with women, a lot of things that I see with my clients and I experience with myself, so I can absolutely relate. One of the things we see going on in our world today is so many women are really in their masculine, because, and it's not to blame the masculine, no one's at fault, But the masculine really forgot how to be masculine, to show up for women, to protect, to provide, to have that safety for the women so the woman can feel soft and blossom. And by not having that, whether it's our father figures or the men that were in our lives, women automatically just went to a, okay, if I need to get things done, I'm going to be masculine. And a lot of women have this illusion that our masculine is our strength and our power, and that's where it comes from. So what I see in a lot of women that creates this, I won't call it a block, but I'll call it a resistance to truly healing, is that they're very attached to the idea that their masculine is what has them being so strong. And in that, there's a huge disconnect from their feminine and what the divine feminine is all about, and recognizing that the feminine is actually where they get their strength from. And it's also because in our society, they only show us one aspect of the feminine, and that's for the feminine to be soft and nurturing and kind and loving and a mother, and just that part, like the very like Mother Mary essence of the feminine. But what they don't remind us is that the goddess of destruction is a goddess. The goddess of war is a goddess. The feminine is a range, anywhere from like fire and destruction and all of that. The goddess of sexuality is a goddess, you know, but women just think, oh no, if I'm going to be feminine, it means I have to be soft and sweet and nurturing. And it's like, oh no, your fire, your strength comes from the divine feminine within you. So then when we can begin to put down that armor of this masculine within us, only then can we really start healing and stepping into our feminine. And that's the space I see a lot of women just feeling stuck, because they think that armor is their superpower, but it's not.
Wow. So when you say like divine feminine, because when you say divine feminine is like fire and destruction and all that, people maybe can think about it as like, oh, then I'm able, then use it for negativity, you know, use it in a negative way. So does the fire and destruction come out in a healthy way? Or how would you use the divine feminine in you?
You know, there is that aspect of the feminine where what doesn't work gets to be destructed, so then it could be rebuilt. And I think it just depends on people and how they want to view that. Is that negative? Am I going around just destroying everything around me? Well, if that's the intention behind it, then what are the wounds that are doing that? Because everything can be positive or negative, you know, and it's how we perceive it. And more than anything, it's our intention behind it. If I, as this divine feminine, have the essence of the goddess Kali in me to destruct things in my life, but am I using it with intention to really allow the things that are not working in my life, the things that are not for my greatest and highest good, to actually fall down and destruct so that I could rebuild from there? Or am I just walking around destroying everything because I'm coming from my traumas?
Yeah.
You know, there's dark and light to everything. That's duality of it all. And it's intention. What am I doing with this? What am I doing with this energy?
Wow. So how does someone that's starting their feminine journey, how does someone reconnect to their feminine energy in a healthy way?
I will say this, no one needs to look for their like A to Z map of like, what do I get to do? Because it does look so different for everyone. So the number one thing I will tell everyone is just set your intention that's where you want to go. And that's the journey that you're on to heal your feminine and to awaken to what your divine feminine is. And the journey will really unfold for itself. Everyone that you get to meet to work with will show up for you, and you'll just have to answer that call to go work with that person. And a book that you're meant to read will find its way to you. A podcast that's going to give you another little glimmer of what it is will find its way to you. All of those things will find its way to us to support us on our journey, because it's a journey. It's not like I'm going to work on my feminine for 1 month and I'm going to be done. It is a journey. But the number one place that I will tell most women to start from is just by acknowledging, okay, my feminine is very deeply wounded. And how do I begin healing these wounds? What are these feminine wounds? And most of the time it begins with, what was that father wound in our life? How did that masculine show up or not show up for us? And it's kind of just recognizing, am I in my hypermasculine? And it's just having those questions, and then that ball just gets rolling. But it's just accepting that, okay, I get to do this work, and where do I feel called to start from right now? And really, the number one place is, let's look at our traumas. Let's look at what those traumas were. Because once you start working with the traumas of this life, is where little by little by little by little, you'll be ready to start doing the traumas of your past lives. Because a lot of these women, and any woman that's listening to this who is whether starting her spiritual awakening or in the midst of her spiritual awakening, us women do have past lives where women were murdered and killed for being spiritual women because we were called witches. So there is this natural fear that is so deep in our subconscious of stepping out into the world today of being a divine awakened woman. And it doesn't even make sense. It's not even something that you'll logically know, but it's embedded deep in your subconscious because that's the lineage that it comes from. So part of this healing, while you start with your life traumas here and connect to your feminine, you're going to begin doing a healing process that takes you all the way to healing those past lives so that you could fully be embodied. And this is why I tell women, I'm like, do not worry about how the journey shows up for you. Just start. Is it listening to that? Is it reading this book? Is it, you know, and then when you feel that call of working with someone, answer that call. That's how your soul talks to you and is guiding you to the next path and the next path and the next path. Because I can't tell people, oh, well, here's how my journey went and this is where I started. I don't even remember where I started, to be honest. It just started. And then a relationship came into my life that I felt really called to dating this person. And in that relationship, it was the first place that I learned of, oh, masculine and feminine dynamics. Like, it was so foreign to me back then. And in that is when I realized, oh, I'm really in my masculine. Like, what does that even mean? And it grew and it grew and it grew in different coaches and different things that now I'm here having this understanding of it, knowing that even this will continue to grow and evolve, but it'll start for you. You just get to surrender to the process.
Yeah, I feel like that definitely comes from being an awake person. Because so many people, I would say, live their lives asleep, where it's like, oh, this person came into my life. Okay, this person left my life. Okay. And then, you know, they keep getting these like wounds and heartbreaks. But once you become a fully aware and awake person, every single person you meet, every single podcast conversation, you start asking that question. It's like, well, I was meant to hear this, you know, why was I meant to hear this? And then you just go down that hole. And then it's just like, okay, I had my past relationships and it ended in a heartbreak. Well, what did I do wrong? What was it meant to teach me? But it's so scary, you know, for the person that is starting their journey, because it's like, oh, wow. Like I'm totally fine. I don't need to heal my inner child. And then once they go down that hole, I would say, of like literally a rabbit hole, because it just doesn't, it's like a never ending journey. And some people are just so scared to start because they're just like, you know what? Ignorance is bliss. I'm just going to live my life, you know, in my own flesh. And then whatever happens to me happens to me. And I'm just like, no, you can't do that. You can't reach your higher self if you are living your life fully asleep. You know, you're a walking body, but your soul is crying to you. So I wanted to touch base when you said, like, you have to listen to your soul speak to you. When your soul speaks to you, would you say that's a form, that's your intuition?
Yeah.
So
I think one way you hear it is through your intuition. It's just this like knowing without knowing why, you know, but it's just this like, I feel like I need to do this. That's your intuition.
I always say to people, like, your intuition is your guardian angel. And so many times your ego gets in the way of your intuition, and then you start suppressing your intuition, and then you stop trusting yourself. And then that's when you get out of your feminine energy and you get into your masculine energy. So how do you know the difference between intuition and your ego talking?
Ego is most of the time going to be from fear. And I don't want to make, I'm not one of those people that makes ego a bad thing. And like, we need to kill our egos. I don't believe in that. Ego is something that lives within us. And our spiritual ego is what is there to kind of protect us. And so being born into a world that's really unawakened, we train our ego to protect us and go to fear, because fear is one of the mechanisms they use to like protect us. So when the ego shows up, ego will show up with a disconnection from love. It's going to be aggressive. It's going to be protect yourself, put this wall up, don't do this. This is scary. And ego is going to show up like that. Your intuition, and ego is most of the time going to show up. You're going to hear it in your head, like in your thoughts, very logical. Ego is going to be very logical. If here's why you shouldn't do this. Intuition is really going to come from your heart and your gut. Those are the two places you're going to feel. Because if we really pay attention of where is this message coming from, you're going to see, is it coming from my head or is it coming from my heart? Intuition has a softer voice. It's like this nudge. It's just this knowing. It's not going to be logical. And so you're like, I don't know why I know this, but like, or I don't know why I feel like I need to do this. And it's not going to be logic. And then logic, your ego, in order to protect you, like, well, here's why that doesn't make sense to protect. So that's your ego that's going to show up like that. But that's where we get to start the practice of, okay, I'm going to trust my intuition. And in the beginning, it's going to make no sense and it's going to feel scary. And that's totally normal. But as you begin to choose to trust your intuition, even if it doesn't make logical sense, that's how you build that intuitive muscle. Mm-hmm. And that's how you get that trust and that connection with yourself. Because through saying yes to your intuition and how those things unfold, you'll see, oh, this is why I was meant to be here. Now I get it. And so then it becomes easier and easier and easier to trust your intuition and rewire that ego, because then your ego is going to show up with, oh, you should trust your intuition. We could rewire the language of our ego. It's no longer going to come from fear. It's going to come from, you should trust your intuition. Then when you get very logical on something, your ego is going to show up and be like, hey, remember when we trusted our intuition and it was actually safer? Maybe you should go there now. And in the beginning, it's very scary and it feels uncomfortable, but just start with that practice. And where is it coming from? Is it coming from your head? Or is it coming from your heart? Your heart's going to be intuition. Your head's going to be your ego.
It's so true, because I remember when I was in like a past toxic relationship where it was just a bunch of like unfaithfulness and it was just a whole big situationship. I got very in tune with my intuition, and there were certain signs, you know, the universe was telling me. And I started to act on my intuition. And I remember going to my friends and I'm just like, okay, this is the sign that I got. I have to just, my intuition is giving me this gut feeling. I have to see this through. And they were all telling me, Angelica, you're crazy. You're crazy. And I'm just like, guys, just believe me right now. I know it might seem crazy to you, but let's just see. And I remember acting upon my intuition, that feeling, and everybody thinking I'm nuts. And it literally showed me exactly what I knew that I was feeling. And I literally was able to see the unfaithfulness happening right before my eyes, because my gut feeling told me. But there was signs prior to that, you know, where the universe was hinting me, like signs, like there was a question asked and I'm like, wait, why did she just ask this question to him? And then I was like, this doesn't make sense. And then I acted upon my gut feeling. I was like, this is what's going to happen. Act upon it, you know? But, and it was just like such a toxic relationship. But from that moment on, I'm just like, okay, my intuition is real. Yeah, that's my guardian angel. I have been suppressing it for so long, but she is there to support me. So I have to make her stronger, because she's very weak right now. And from that moment on, I always listened to my gut. Even when Mike and I are in certain situations, he knows that I've been just like really working out my intuition. Cause that's what it is. You work out, you go to the gym to build your muscle. It's like, you have to do that with your mind. You have to do that with your heart. You have to do that with your soul. So that's what I've been like working out. So every time we're in a certain situation, I'm just like, hey, I don't feel right now. Like, I don't feel good about this person. I don't feel right in this situation. I could be completely wrong, but I don't want to be here right now. And he has learned to be like, if your intuition, since a woman has a very strong intuition and that's her power energy, it's like, okay, we're leaving. Let's go. You know?
Honestly, round of applause for Mike, because a man that can honor a woman's intuition and not just look at her and be like, you're crazy, but to be like, okay, I understand that you're really picking up on something and like, I respect that and let's pay attention to that. Like, round of applause for that man, because that is like, that is what creates this very beautiful dynamic between a man and a woman, because women are naturally very wise and very intuitive. That's a part of our feminine nature. And so we do pick up on things of people that are around us that men are not going to be aware of. And so for a man to honor that in his woman, it actually then does support you in the, okay, I get to continue to nurture this intuition of mine and trust it and have it grow. And it makes you feel safe to continue to speak up on what you're intuitively feeling, which then brings you guys even closer together, which is, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, because I didn't understand like feminine energy and healing before I met Mike. And at first it could be crazy to any guy. It's like, oh, you're having this feeling, but more times than not, it's like, you know what? You can stay here. I'm going to go. You know, that was like in the beginning of a relationship, and my intuition proved to always feel right. So now he's learned to trust me and my superpower, because it's like, listen, a masculine man's superpower is his logic, you know, very mission driven, very focused, very problem solver. So every time I come to Mike with a problem and he gives me a solution, I always listen to him, and that nurtures his masculinity, because it's like, oh, my woman, you know, my woman comes to me with problems. I give her solutions and she listens to me and she, you know, accepts and respects my opinion, and he feels like a hero. He feels like a man. So vice versa, it's like, hey, my intuition is my superpower. So in order for you to nurture my feminine energy, is I need you to respect because my feelings don't come up all the time, you know, but when they do, it's like, I have to listen to them because I need to start trusting myself. So that's a little story, but I really wanted to touch base when you talked about how your soul and past life, you know, how like, so, and obviously I spoke to you before about soul ties. I don't know why this was like a huge thing for me, but I was like cooking breakfast and I'm just like, there's so many things I want to talk to her about. And then soul ties popped up, and I don't know why it's such a, like, it was something in my heart where I just wanted to pick your brain on. But I remember in the beginning of mine and Mike's relationship, everything was working out for me, you know, like, oh, I found the man of my dreams, you know, everything that I've manifested. He lets me relax into my feminine energy. He's masculine. He has like, you know, he's a protector, a provider, like all these qualities. But there was a certain block in my life where I wasn't able to be happy, you know, and I didn't know what it was. And then I started like venting to my friend, and I just started explaining to her about my situationship that I was for 3 years, you know, where we were connected through intimacy mainly. And then I have Mike come into my life, and I was just like, I was really struggling. And all she told me was soul ties. And I started researching soul ties and how, you know, you can get connected, you know, spiritually, emotionally, and then through intimacy. And she's like, it could be a good thing, but it could be a really bad thing. And the reason why your heart is not open to receiving Mike's love is because your soul is blocked for what has happened to you in your past relationship that happened for 3 years. And my past relationship was very traumatizing to my soul because it's something that I've never experienced. I came to the relationship confident and strong, and, you know, I had everything going for me. And then 3 years I was broken and I didn't understand. There wasn't like the first time it was on, like I caught him being unfaithful. It was multiple times and I kept going back, and I can't fully blame the guy because he might have had his own demons to deal with, but I can't be the victim and just be like, oh, it was him, he's a narcissist, he's a this, he's a that, to make myself feel better. I had to be like, well, I'm not going to be the victim because I stayed in that relationship. Why did I stay in that relationship for 3 years? Where was my self-love? Where was my self-respect? But at the time when she told me about soul ties, I wasn't on my awakened journey. So yeah, I did my research about it and it went in one ear and out the other. But now, like, you know, having this conversation with you, I'm just like, I really want to know more about soul ties. And then you briefly told me that there's like a bunch of different types of soul ties. And I didn't know that. So that's my next question is, how, like, what are soul ties and, you know, what are the different types of soul ties?
So soul ties, and the way that I've like seen them in my work, is there's different types. So we'll talk about the two types that you and I had spoken about. There is on one end a soul tie with someone that you've had past lifetimes with. So then you meet this partner in this lifetime, and there's this deep and strong soul connection to one another. And it doesn't make sense. And it's just very strong. And in the beginning, we're like, oh, this is probably the one. And then you start dating and things just start unfolding and it doesn't make sense. And you're clashing and like, it's constantly like butting heads, but you're like, but I feel so connected to this person. That type of soul tie has to do with karmic experiences together. And those experiences that you two come into this like relationship with is about healing those karmic connections that you and this person have built over past lifetimes, to clear those karmas. But really, it's to grow. Those relationships are the ones that are there to really have you connect to yourself, realize who you are. They're like the biggest mirrors to us. Of like, oh my God, these are the things that I'm doing that are not working in my life, because you'll see it in that partner. And here's how I'm showing up that's attracted this into my life. It's just lesson after lesson after lesson after lesson for both of you, if both people choose to learn it. And then it comes to a place where it's like, I love you, and this just feels like an ending. And it ends with so much love, because you do have a soul connection to this person. So there's so much love. But then that tie that had you guys being like this, through learning those experiences and having whatever experience was with that person, but learning the lessons, it opens up that tie for you. So now you could be free from that energy. But it's, we've got to learn the lessons. So that's like a soul karmic tie. There is the other soul ties that we do create in this lifetime with people that we sleep with. Because when we sleep with someone, our energies are really transferring into one another. And then especially in those like manipulative, abusive, toxic, narcissistic, whatever we'll call it, relationships. And I've heard it so many times. I've experienced it myself. I met this guy. I thought he was the one. I was the most happy, confident version of myself. And then after 3, 4, 5 years, normally it's years, we stay in those for years, even though we know by 5 months in, this isn't working. We stay for years. And then we come out of it broken, lost, disheveled. I don't feel like myself. I feel like a shell of myself. I can't trust, like, just, and then we don't even know how to let happiness into our lives from that space, because there's so many wounds. We're actually terrified to be happy, because if I'm happy, oh my God, no, I was happy and this happened. So happy equals this. I'm scared to be happy. And that's a very, like, it's a very traumatizing relationship. Most likely the person that you were with was a narcissist, and that's okay. We get to ask ourselves, why did I call in that narcissist? What is this teaching me about myself? Am I an unaware empath that does this? What wounds do I carry? There's a lot of accountability in that space. And it's very much what you were saying of, I'm not going to be the victim, because we are not. We can see how that person acted and how it hurt us. And there's so much to learn about ourselves. But then there is this energetic tie that gets connected, because you were intimate with this person. And you were intimate with this person for years. And so their energy, what it does to you, especially if it's, if you're in a relationship with someone who was a narcissist, because what they want to do is they want to like wrap your energy and bring you down because they can't see you thriving and being happy because that's not how they feel within themselves, but they will never actually express that and show that. So energetically, what it does is it wraps this like tie around your energy, around your aura, and it wants to bring you down. So you can be out of the relationship with this person for years, but still be struggling with the aftermath of that experience. So part of that healing does come from what you said too. And it is, it's what awakens us. Why did I call this into my life? What did I stay? Why did I stay? Where was my self-love? Why wasn't I showing with self-love? So there's this deep inner healing and understanding. And many times it's like, what other narcissists were in my life? Was my mom or my dad a narcissist that allowed me to be? So there's that whole side of healing. But then on the energetic side, where there is that soul tie, there's about how do I get this energetic cord off of me with this person?
Yeah.
Because that's there. In my experience, the only way we really get that cord off of us, it's not even by doing a meditation, imagine the cord being off of you, because if you're emotionally still stuck in his trauma, you're going to wrap that cord right around yourself. It's about doing that emotional healing first, those the inner parts, and really, like you said, not victimizing yourself, because for so many people that stay asleep, it's so much easier to just be the victim. It's so much easier. And they don't want to look at the things. They don't want to be accountable. Accountability is hard in the beginning, you know? Once you do the work and you take the accountability and you begin to heal, that's when energetically you're now ready to cut these cords off of you. That can happen through a meditation where you literally envision their cords coming off of you. That can happen through working with a Reiki master to then remove their energy off of you and cut those cords so that their energy is no longer tied into you. But that is something that happens. Having energetic ties with people that you sleep with happens. And I think this experience that you had, and I've also had literally that same experience, ours is a more extreme version of it. But here's why this whole hookup culture isn't a good thing, because each person you have sex with, you're creating a tie. It's a small tie and it's so little that you may not even be aware of it, but you're creating a tie with them. And so it's very important to kind of go back to the people that you've slept with and intentionally clear those ties and like envision the tie between you and that partner and how it's knotted. Envision it unknotting, separating. You take yours and send theirs back to theirs. Like for the ones that were just, oh, a one night stand or just a hookup, so there's no trauma, emotional trauma attached to it or whatnot, you could very easily like disconnect those ties that way. But we're connecting so many ties to every single person that we have slept with, which means there's parts of your energy that aren't even being used by you because they're tied into someone else's energy now.
Yeah.
And we really get to see ourselves.
Yeah, that's honestly such a great explanation. I feel like it's so important for my listeners to know that, because especially in the world today where there's just a lot of toxic people around, and you know, women are constantly getting into toxic relationships that are abusive, emotionally abusive, physically abusive, and they just can't, like they feel broken. It's so important to understand that maybe they feel broken and they can't find happiness is because their soul is still connected to their past trauma and their past relationship. And it's something so crazy that I struggled with that. I didn't understand. And once she said that and I read about it, I'm just like, oh my God, like this is a real thing. It's like his negative soul was bringing down my soul. And yes, we are not together, but our souls are together, you know, in the universe. And this soul, since how it, we know how we broke up and how we parted ways, it's like, this soul is not letting my soul finally be happy with another soul, because that one is so attached to me. And it's so mind-blowing when you think of it that way, but it's so important to understand, and it's so important to go through that healing journey. But how can individuals protect themselves from entering into negative soul ties in the future?
You know, I think doing the inner work with ourselves and really learning how to love ourselves allows us to be able to spot someone who's healthy for us or not healthy for us. You know, when we are not aware of our own traumas, it's so easy to attract a man or a partner into our life from the space of our traumas. And then that partner is going to reveal those traumas to you. And so if that happens, it's okay. That's a journey of the awakening and it's totally okay. But for the listeners that are on their journey and they are curious, it really is about start doing the inner work, start going on that journey of self-love with yourself so that when that partner comes up, your body will even tell you, is it safe to sleep with this person or is it not safe to sleep with this person? And you're no longer going to want to sleep with them because maybe he'll like me if I sleep with him or her, whatever your preference. Your body will literally tell you, this is safe, this is not safe. And what is my intention of sleeping with this person? Is it really just because we love each other and there's this place of love and union? Or is it just because I want to hook up with someone? You know, and it's remembering that it's like our vessels are very sacred. Sex is a very sacred act. It's not just to go, for lack of better words, it's not just to go like bust a nut, because you're literally wasting your energy by doing that. You know, and when we remember that, then it's like, I don't need to go sleep with people. Like, this is a sacred vessel and you get to be a sacred partner to be able to enter this vessel. So that's one of the ways in which you get to protect yourself from not creating these ties. And if you do, it's also okay because it's take accountability. Wait, okay. If this happened and I was trying for this not to happen, what do I get to learn here? How do I get to focus on healthier relationships? What traumas or what things was I holding on to that then attracted this into my life? And then for women or men that feel like they're struggling with those soul ties from relationships that have been done for years, but it's like that energy is there. A psychic that I actually work with gave me this exercise for me and it works so well and I love it. He was like, you know, Seema, when you see your energy and his energy and like that spiritual realm, and it is, your energies are connected in that spiritual form. He's like, envision yourself with mirrors all around you, but the mirror, the part that reflects to you, face it outwards. So that then every time this energy, the soul of this person is trying to like send something to you or latch onto you, it hits the mirror and it bounces back to them. And so energetically, it creates this like cocoon for you where their energy can't keep trying to latch onto you and you can continue your healing until then they even see like they can't even, their energy can't even penetrate you. And then in real life, it's like, it creates that separation as well.
Wow.
So that's a really good exercise for me to practice to be like, no, because sometimes you don't have to be with the person. You could be broken up for years and you'll feel their energy around you. Put those mirrors around you, turn those mirrors out. Whatever energy of them is trying to come to you, it's going to bounce off and go back to them now. So you can continue doing the work.
That's so good. That's something that I still need to work on because sometimes I feel like it's not as strong anymore. You know, but it's still there. It's like, it's lingering. That's what it is, where it's like, sometimes I feel like the most happiest and I trust my partner and everything is good and everything is great. There's that little soul tie that it's like, no, there's something going on. And it's just like a little demon talking to me inside me. And I figured that that's like my soul tie from my past because it's like the thought comes with it. It's just always connected. But when I asked you the question of how do individuals protect themselves from entering negative soul ties, it also I feel like a big part of it is also setting boundaries.
Yeah, absolutely.
So why are boundaries so important to set?
Boundaries are things we set to honor ourselves. That's the intention of boundaries. You know, it's because I love myself, because I honor myself, I have this boundary. And when we set a boundary, it allows people to not like mess with you and get away with it. You know, someone will do something wrong to you and someone with weak boundaries will be like, okay, well, whatever, it's okay. Maybe they won't do it again. And that person's like, oh, I could do this again. I got away with it. You know, it's just like even when we see with children and parents, if the child does something and that parent does not have strong boundaries, the child's like, I can get away with this. They don't learn discipline and they don't learn the lesson. Same thing with adults, same thing in relationships, romantic or friendships. Boundaries are so important to learn to have strong boundaries, because when a partner or someone you want to be with does something to cross a boundary or not respect your boundaries, immediately you're like, I honor myself. That's why this boundary is there. And if this person's not honoring me, that's a red flag. So by having really secure, strong boundaries for yourself, you actually get to see if another person is right for you in your life or not. Because how good are they about honoring that boundary? Like, one of the boundaries for you is, I'm learning to trust my intuition. And as my intuition tells me something, I'm going to speak up about it. And I really need to be respected in that. You know, that's a boundary for yours. And you could see with your partner, is he a good partner? Is he a not good partner? How does he show up with that boundary that I have, that I'm not going to allow my intuition to be disrespected? My intuition is a part of my divine feminine, and it gets to be nurtured and respected. And because you have that boundary, you're able to see your partner being like, oh my God, this is a healthy partnership because he respects that boundary. And that's why boundaries are so important, because let's say you didn't have that boundary and weren't aware of that boundary. And then you call in someone in your life that just didn't respect that boundary or didn't respect your intuition. You would probably not even be aware of, this is not a healthy partner. And then you would stay with this person, and then you would sleep with this person, and then it would create a negative soul tie.
Yeah.
So boundaries really are really good mechanisms of who's healthy for us and who's not.
I just feel bad because in this society, I feel like women, you know, I wouldn't say like they're, I wouldn't use the word like desperate, but they really want to find love, you know, and every man they meet, you know, can seem so amazing in the beginning, and they can have these lists of boundaries. It's like, oh, red flag, if he does this, this is my non-negotiable. And then they meet that person, and then they start, you know, I guess loosening their boundaries and being like, well, he's not going to like me if I don't sleep with him right now, or he's not going to like me if I don't do this. And it hurts my heart, because women want to find love, and we have men nowadays that just take advantage of that. And I like, there's so many stories where people like tell me, and I'm just like, no, girl, like, if he doesn't respect your boundaries, he's not the man for you. Because even if you don't want to sleep with a man for 3 months, you know, and he really wants to be with you and get to know you for you and not what's in there, he will respect your boundaries for those 3 months or however long you need. But women, they feel so pressured, because you have men today where it's like, oh, well, if you're not going to sleep with me for 3 months, yeah, I'll get to know you, but I'm going to go get to know other women as well. And that's kind of just like the toxic masculinity traits that we're seeing now. And I see so many, just like, you know, I don't even want to get into it, but so many like videos of like toxic masculinity claiming this is the masculine way to go. And it just like, it's like, it breaks my heart to know that. But when we talk about like masculine and feminine energy, is how does a woman step out of her masculine that has, you know, that has been in it for so long? And how does she step into her feminine energy when she's in a relationship? Because I feel like a lot of women, they feel like they're already in their masculine energy. And I guess a guy, since he didn't stand up for himself, he kind of let the woman take on that leadership role. And now she's kind of like, well, how do I kind of start over?
So if you're already in a relationship and you're trying to like shift that dynamic, that only works if the man is also equally in a place of healing his wounds, because everything is energy. A woman who's very in her masculine is not going to be able to attract a man who's in his masculine, because that is just going to bump heads and it's not going to happen. We need polarity. So a woman who's in her masculine is going to attract a man who's in his feminine. That's just how it happens. And so then you're in that relationship and the woman's like, oh my God, like I want to feel more feminine in this space. But the only way you could surrender your masculine is if you have that masculine counterpart being masculine. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the ways that your partner gets to be masculine in those ways. So as you're on your journey of, this is what feminine feels like, these are my needs as a feminine. I need a man that can protect me, that can provide for me, that I trust his direction. Because yes, like you said, you go to your partner and you ask him like help on something because they're logical, they could get the job done, but you trust his direction. You trust what he's telling you because he has shown in his own life with what he's created and what his results are that you could trust him with his support for you. Mm-hmm. And so you need that masculine to be there so that you can then surrender that part of your unhealthy masculine for yourself and step into your feminine. But if you're in a dynamic where the man is in his feminine and you're trying to step into your feminine, that doesn't work. That mm-hmm. relationship is going to end because we need polarity. We need that masculine and feminine polarity in that space. And so if you're in a relationship and trying to do that, you have to make sure your partner is as willing to step into his masculine as you are into your feminine. But if one partner is not willing to look at their wounds and see where their wounds, because there's a lot of men that are afraid to be masculine because immediately it's like, that's toxic masculinity. So they don't know how to actually be a divine masculine. They don't know. And unfortunately, our society makes any type of masculinity immediately toxic. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's true. You know, and so there's a grand awakening around that for men too, and for that masculine energy. But if your partner is not on his own healing journey to heal his masculine and step into his masculine, it's not gonna, there's no room for you to surrender your masculine, because mm-hmm. you're gonna be like, well, he's not doing it, one of us gotta do it, so I'll do it, which then also creates resentment in that relationship. And so those relationships, sometimes you're either gonna work together to heal it or you have to split apart.
Yeah. I because always say, yeah.
Energy. And so if you were in your masculine getting into this relationship, you called in a feminine man. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you got to split apart for that to happen.
I always say, if you guys are not growing together, you guys are growing apart. Mm-hmm. And I always try to encourage women, because a lot of women are just like, well, I'm trying to be in my feminine. What do I do? Well, but like in a relationship, like, what do I do? Well, it's just like, got to have a conversation with your partner to see if he wants to take on that masculine role, you know, and what does that masculine role mean to him? Because maybe he doesn't want to, maybe he doesn't have it in him to be assertiveness or logical. And he's been cool with having you lead and him follow because he doesn't have to use his brain. So you got to communicate with your partner to see if this is something that he even wants. But what happens to the woman? Because I've seen this happen in my family, where my dad was the masculine in the family and my mom was the feminine. And then I would say, like, because we lived in Israel, they lived in Russia, and then we lived in Israel. And then from Israel, we moved to Canada. And, you know, there was a whole shift in dynamic where my mom started taking the leadership. My mom started taking the masculine role. And it wasn't always this way, because my mom attracted a masculine man, and he mm-hmm. was like the provider, the protector, all that.
Right.
And then my mom started switching into her role. And then my dad, I guess, started suppressing his masculinity, and they definitely grew apart, but they didn't understand what was going on. They weren't educated in masculine and femininity and polarity. So they kind of just thought like, okay, well, maybe we just grew apart from each other, went their separate ways. But how about if a woman is getting educated, you know, I guess it means like the same thing. She would have to communicate with her partner because the dynamic changed.
The dynamic. Yeah. And you know, sometimes things like that happen in life and it changes the dynamic, because it's so wild to me how our stories are so similar, because my parents too, when they got married, dad was the provider, and we lived in Iran. Dad was the provider. Mom was the very feminine side of things, those very traditional roles. And then we left there, we went to Israel, and from Israel, we came to America. So as you're saying that, I'm like, yeah, that sounds like us too. We both ended up in Israel in the middle part of it. And then we came to America, and the roles changed in a lot of ways. Like, my dad was in some ways still the provider, the one working, but my mom was getting everything else done. you know, my mom was the mom and the dad. My mom was doing all of, like, handling all of the bills, handling everything. So she was in her masculine energy. And I think in those spaces, we get to see the wounds the masculine has. Maybe he's not able to handle the stress of moving from this country to that country, to this country, not knowing the language, how it shows up to them. Like, I think as women, we get to remember men are human too. Men have been so dehumanized to a lot of women of, like, they just need to be providers, that they forget their feminine side. They forget to feel their emotions. They forget to talk about what's coming up with them. And so when they don't honor or feel any of those things, like, they start to crumble, and it's hard to be a man. It's not easy. Like, there's so much pressure on a man. I think any woman who is working, or especially a woman who has her own business and provides for herself, can see that, like, making money, yeah, it could be fun and flowing, but it's a lot of responsibility. Now imagine if you have that responsibility for a partner and children and all of that stuff. It's a huge responsibility on the masculine. And so we get to love them, thank them, support them. Like, it's a lot in that sense too. And I think for a lot of our fathers or men like that, they didn't know their feminine, they didn't know their emotions, and they just start crumbling. And it's so easy, because then women show up where men can't pick up. Women will pick up, because especially if they have children, we got to get things done. The woman will show up in those ways, and that starts creating the separation between them, because the man is struggling emotionally. He's struggling with his feminine, not allowing himself to feel those things. A lot of the times the woman will look at him, well, what's wrong with you? Get it together. And it puts more pressure on him, because a lot of women haven't known, nurture your men, allow your man to come to you and speak about his emotions. Let him cry to you and hold him. Don't put him down of, like, why are you being a little bitch? No, he's a human. Men have divine feminine energy too, that they get to tap into, and women get to nurture that. And a lot of women don't realize that. They think that a masculine, you just got to be a man and that's it. And it's like, no, he gets to honor his feminine too. And you get to hold space for that. And when women don't know that, and men don't know that, and all of these huge life circumstances happen, it does happen sometimes where that load of that masculine energy becomes a lot on that man. And women, I think we're very good at, we'll go vent to our friends, we'll go talk to other women. Men don't do that as much. And so he's struggling. He doesn't know what to do. He's not talking to people about it, to get advice, to get support. And so he starts to crumble, and the woman takes the role. And then all of a sudden she's more masculine, because now he can't do it. And it creates this separation. And I think even in those dynamics where we look at it, A, of course, communication is key. But I think the most important thing for all of us on our journey is really learning about divine masculine and divine feminine. And for women, it's really to put down their masculine walls and step into their femininity and what that looks like for them. And understand that a divine masculine man isn't just masculine and good at getting things done and providing for you. If you want, like, a whole man, he's going to be emotional as well. That's the sign of a healthy and awakened man, is a man who wants to talk about his emotions, who is not just going to suppress his, like, stress from work or whatever by, like, drinking a beer or smoking a blunt. He's going to go meditate. He's going to go journal. He's going to express to you, and you get to hold that space for him of allowing him to have emotions the same way he can hold that space for you as you're the feminine, who has a range of emotions, for us to be in that space and experience that for us as well. Like, when we understand masculine and feminine energy and what it really is, then as men and women, or as embodying more feminine and more masculine, we can actually pour into one another. And I think that's one thing we see in so many relationships. They're not pouring into one another. The woman has expectations on the man to show up a certain way, and the man has expectations for the woman to show up a certain way, but neither person is showing up for one another and pouring into one another and supporting one another. And so it just creates these toxic environments that most of the time either splits up, or they stay together and they're just, like, very unhappily together, and it's just like a roommate situation.
That was so well said. And I always talk about, because we always talk about, like, women's health and mental health, but men's mental health is real. Like, but that's because obviously little boys, when they're taught at a young age, it's like, don't cry, don't be a baby. Like, you know, you're a man, you know, you can't cry. And they learn like, okay, well, I can't show my emotion because that doesn't make me a man.
For girls.
Yeah. And then women, obviously, in today's society and what we see, you know, getting, you know, what you see on Instagram and on different podcasts, it's like, oh, if you're a man who cries, you're a little bitch, you're a boy. And like you That's said, terrible. You're like you said, a man doesn't nurture his feminine side. And then that creates the blockage for him. That's what creates him being so closed off. And then you have women that look at these men, because they're conditioned as well to, oh, men can't cry, they need to show up for their family. And when they do try to speak about what's going on in their life, it's just like, oh, damn, you have problems. Oh, you're not a real man. And then they get closed up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, and I, to be honest, I was that way. I was conditioned that way. You know, I'm not used to seeing men cry. Never saw my dad cry, you know. Maybe he cried alone somewhere, but I never saw it. But when I met Mike, you know, and he's very just emotional, you know, but he's also very, very masculine. And my heart grew for him in a different way. And when he showed me his more emotional side, and when I started my awakening journey of healing and being in my feminine energy, my heart became very soft. And I used to watch all this, like all these like scary movies, like some demonic stuff, you know? And now when I watch it, I can't watch it anymore. I need to watch loving movies because my heart got softer. And Mike, when he expresses his emotion to me, and he, you know, sometimes he has like breakdowns or panic attacks, it's like, I'm there to hold him. I'm there caressing him and telling him everything is going to be okay. And people can look at it being like, oh, he's weak. And it's like, in my world, I think that's so strong. I was like, a man that is able to show that side to his woman is so vulnerable and so strong. And being vulnerable is just so powerful that I grew a different love for him, because I get to love his masculine side, but I also get to see his feminine side in him, which is not a bad thing. And I don't know, it was just like a deeper connection I grew with him, and he sees my masculine side and he pours into it, you know, when he needs to, and we pour into each other. And that's what kind of grew a deeper connection, because if I wasn't on my healing journey and he went through his panic attacks, because he owns a business and sometimes things get overwhelming, like, you know, he has a ton of employees, he has to put like food on the table, the business has to make money, like he has so much stress going on. And if he wasn't able to talk to me about it and literally be vulnerable about what's going on with his stresses and, you know, have those panic attacks in front of me, oh my God, like he would be miserable. Like he would be absolutely miserable. I can't even imagine being hiding one part of like a half of the part of myself to my significant other. You know, I can't imagine having a panic attack and not being able to show my partner my true feelings. Like that.
And having space to show that.
Yeah. And if you keep blocking these certain types of energies, they're going to show up in sickness and diseases and your back hurting and all these other parts, because your body is like, your spirit is crying and then your body feels it. And
it's speaking to you.
Yeah. It's like a whole thing. I feel like I can talk about this with you for like days on end, because there's just so much to talk about
these topics.
Yeah, I know. But my last question to you is, where can people find you?
You can find me through Instagram. I think that's the best and easiest way to find me, at Seema Shamaj. And if you want to work with me, just message me and someone will get back to you from there. Even if you have questions or something, just message me through there. We're very good at like getting back to the messages there. I did want to say one thing though, that was coming up as you were sharing this. You know, when you talk about like, when you have a problem, he's so good at giving you solutions and like that pours into his masculine. It's the same way that as a feminine, as you heal and hold space for the man, when he pours his emotions into you of like, he's angry or he's scared or he's anxious and he's like, what's happening? And he's stressed. That's actually pouring into your feminine because he's allowing that nurturing side of you to come into play. Because he trusts you, and you've created a safe space. So he trusts you to come and be vulnerable and be sensitive. That's why your heart expands, because he is in that act of sharing his emotions with you. He's pouring into your feminine. And with you being an awakened feminine and being on your healing journey, you're very well aware of, this is a beautiful thing. This is strength in my man that he's doing this. So then you hold that container for him to have his emotions without judging him and pouring love into him. And that's how he's also, that's why you're like, my heart feels like it expands when he's soft with me like this, because he is like, that is allowing your feminine to be seen the same way when you take his direction because you need advice on something that makes him feel like a man.
That's so well put. I didn't even think of it that way. And it's so, I created a safe place that, to the point where he is having problems at work, let's say, because he works with like a bunch of women, like he has a bunch of women employees. I created such a safe place that when he is having problems, he comes to me for advice on how to deal with it. And I give him the feminine side, because us feminine, we act on our feelings rather than logic. So when stuff is happening at work and he's like, logically, this doesn't make sense. I'm like, okay, babe, you're dealing with just women, and emotionally, how are you making them feel? Emotionally, did you say this one thing that maybe to a masculine, you know, mindset, it makes perfect logical sense and they're good. But if you're talking to a bunch of females that are in their feminine energy, when you're hitting them with logic, they won't get it as a masculine mindset. Exactly. Yeah. They'll probably receive it as the opposite of, or he's being a dick. He's being like this. And I'm just like, well, maybe if you come to them in this way, you'll get a better response from them. But like, that was such a good point. Like, thank you for bringing that up. I did not even think of it that way. And it's so true. I feel so good and so in my feminine energy when he's able to share his feelings with me, because I'm able to be like that feminine hero to him.
Yeah.
And he listens and he lets me nurture and he lets me take care of him. And I feel good. I feel like I'm in my energy when I'm doing that. So that is a great point. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I know that you have a call at 1 o'clock, but thank you so much for making the time. I had a great conversation and I learned so much from you. Like, honestly, like the whole time I was just nodding my head. I'm like, wow, this is good. This is good. And I know my listeners will really appreciate your expertise on all this. So thank you so much again for making the time.
Oh my God, you're so welcome. Thank you for reaching out to me and even having me on this. It was honestly such a pleasure. And I would love, if like listeners have different questions or something, I would love to come back and do even more podcasts on different topics or anything like that, because this conversation was beautiful and amazing. And I love hearing about your story and your experiences and like, and just to even see where you're at now after those experiences. I think it's such a reminder to women that you can and you will get through those situations and end up with a partner that is loving, that is healthy, and things come up and here's how we work on it. Like, it's such an inspiration to so many women of like where you can end up with love.
Thank you. Yeah. He was a big mirror to me of like, this is your mirror. This is everything that you're doing wrong. And it's like, what are you going to do with it? Are you kind of neglecting that mirror? Or are you going to work on it and see yourself in the reflection and being like, okay, I am the problem. I have to work on myself. And that was that moment in time where it's like, you are everything that I prayed to God for. why is this not working? Why am I creating chaos? And I was like, I need to work on myself. And it's definitely a journey, and it'll continue to be a long journey. But I feel like I'm so far ahead than where I used to be. And that's just the beauty, you know? It's like, even if you work on yourself 5% every single day, you're still going to be further than you were yesterday. And that's all that matters. And everybody's journey is completely different. So I always say, like, don't compare my journey, to your journey, because we all went through different experiences. Our souls have been through different experiences. So be patient with yourself, love yourself, and just enjoy the process, because it's a beautiful one, and you will learn things about yourself that you have never learned before, especially what's buried deep down in your subconscious mind that you need to dig out. So
yeah,
I would love to have you on the podcast, because this was because this was a great conversation.
I would love to. So we'll keep in touch.
Yes. We'll touch base. Bye. All Thank right, you.
You're so welcome.
Thank you for tuning into the Bring Back Femininity podcast. I hope our conversation today has inspired you to tap into your feminine energy, embrace your higher self, and live a more authentically empowered life. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with friends who might find it valuable, and make sure to follow us so you never miss a new episode. We love hearing from our listeners, so feel free to reach out to us with your feedback and suggestions. Remember, you are unique, beautiful, and capable of amazing things. Keep shining your light and embracing your feminine power. Thank you for listening to the Bring Back Femininity podcast, and until next time, keep bringing back femininity.